Haskell, brother and sister. St. Helena, California, June 23, 1908. Elder Haskell Box, 597, Oakland, California. Dear brother and sister Haskell, I am greatly interested in the work that is being done in Oakland. Continually there is kept before me the warning, "The end of all things is at hand." I feel an earnest interest that those who have been creating dissension and strife shall be convicted of their wrong and shall repent and be converted. Tell this to the people. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. John 12, verse 35. Because the time is short, we need to follow diligently the king's business. Two nights ago, in visions of the night, I seemed to be addressing a company of our people. This is what I was saying. I have a message for those who have been working to destroy the influence of the messages that the Lord has been giving to his servants. There are some who for years have been spreading their roots far, but their fruit bearing for Christ is represented by the barren fig tree. Christ is hungry for fruit, but coming to these representatives, he finds nothing but leaves. The lesson of the barren fig tree is one that we should keep continually before us. It is not profession of righteousness that will meet the needs of the world today and fulfill the will of God for the human family. God is looking for fruit-bearing branches. Feed my sheep with pure provender is the Lord's command to those who stand as teachers of the gospel of salvation. He has made provision that the gospel's saving power shall be represented in all places. I was shown that mistakes have been made that have left wrong impressions upon minds, because men were allowed to preside over important interests who were deficient of the saving grace of the gospel, who had not made its purity and simplicity a part of their lives, and who did not seek God often in humble, earnest prayer. Righteous, self-denying words were not considered by them to be a necessary part of Christian experience. They did not see the necessity of having the Spirit of Christ and of emulating his example in their work of ministry. I heard words of warning and entreaty spoken to young men, imploring them to make a full surrender and to obtain a thorough conversion. Ministers were exhorted to make decided changes. The Savior was presented to me as standing before the congregation and addressing those who had stood to discourage and hinder others. The words were spoken, "Break every yoke. You are years behind where you should be in the carrying out of the plan of redemption. Let each seek his orders from the one in whom dwelleth truth and righteousness. Let all come into right relation to God, making thorough work of repentance. Let us press our case to the throne of grace. Let all seek for spiritual eyesight, that they may see where they have abused the mercies of God by reining up men to meet their finite ideas of duty instead of allowing them to follow the directions of the Spirit of God. They cannot see the harm that has been done to the cause of God by so long following human judgment because their spiritual eyesight is blinded. I pray that thorough conversions may now be experienced." And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, verse 1 to 20. This fifth chapter of Matthew contains a soul-saving message to all who will receive it. Those who will be humble in spirit and will receive these truths from the lips of Christ will be converted, and the rebuke of God for the past wrongs will be removed. Let your light so shine before men, the Savior declared, that they may see your good works. These good works will be begun when the experience of repentance and conversion is brought into the life. Not until then can words and works glorify your Father which is in heaven. Unless we reveal the converting power of God in our lives, we cannot walk in safe paths. Matthew 5, verse 16. It is not in saying we believe the truth, but by showing that we are changed in character, that we can make known to others the transforming power of the grace of God. What is expected of the subjects of the kingdom of Christ? The answer is given by Christ himself. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Verse 48. No soul can enter into the heavenly courts who does not have an understanding of God's requirements, and who does not strive to be perfect, even as God is perfect. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the Savior says. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7, verse 13-14. Let us obey these words of divine instruction. Let us labor to prevent souls from being snared by the wiles of Satan. Let us not consider it humiliating to confess the faults that the Lord has pointed out, but let us heed his words of warning and encouragement.